Can you hear me, everybody? Here we go.
Dirty Rabbi Show.
Meet Nene by Midbar Malone Orchim. If only I were given an inn in the desert. That's his Malone Orchim, a place where guests could be. The Hezbollah Tami says, Yirmia, I want to leave my nation. The Elchim Itam, I want to go away from all of them. They're all flatterers, right? As well as, adulterers, not that, right? Mechanism would be flatterers. Atzeres Bogdim, they are an assembly of traitors, people together. Now, is that Machlokas, whether it's referring to Yirmia or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is saying that I want to leave them completely? Okay? Now, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying it would be more fitting if the Shekhinah were out in the desert, far from human habitation and the sinful ways of man. Because that way, I wouldn't punish them as well. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, allow me to be away from Kalal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I want you to be together with them. Regardless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, let me be that way. But Yirmia could say that the reason why he wants to stay away from all of them is because obviously people were dying, they're doing terrible things, he wanted to get away. But Yadruchu is Lashonam Kashtam, they bent their tongues as bows. Sheker, they only spoke out lies. Lola Muna, right, they're not going to say the truth. Gavru Ba'aretz, in which that would be strengthening the land. Kimrol Ro Yitzo, they go from one evil to the next. Osi Lo Yadonu Mashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they keep going from one to the other and they won't do anything else. They said that the reason why Lashon Hara is known as bows and arrows is the reason why is because it can strike even those standing at a distance, as opposed to a sword where you can only hit the people that are right there. But when you speak slander or Lashon Hara, you're able to speak about anybody no matter where they are and no matter what. I'm sorry?
Isn't that interesting?
What?
Tefillah, which is from your mouth, is referred to as a bow and arrow. You just learned that because you speak it out.
Right, and maybe Torah is going to be the sword. Yeah, that's the point of it. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That's what Rav Zadok says. The pen might be, but the pen we don't get yet. Either way, regardless, the comprehension on the other way is a different way. Now, Ish Mereu Hisham Meru, everyone should be beware of their own friend. In other words, nobody trusted each other. Al-Ko'ach Al-Tiv-Sahu, you cannot trust any of your brothers. Ki-Ko'ach Akov Yaakov, because every brother acts with trickery. Ki-Ko'rea Rachel Yaaloch, and every friend goes and slanders to everybody else. And that's what he's saying. Yirmiyah is really saying, like, how could that be among us, everybody in Bnei Yisrael? How could we allow this to be among us? And there were family issues that whoever has ever been naive to assume otherwise has realized his mistake and realized that obviously their family is also their major issue. So
he's praying,
you
thought,
you confused
me. What do you mean by family issues?
People not trusting each other or trusting each other too much to where one brother takes advantage of the other person's trustworthiness. And it happens all the time where one brother cheats his brother stuff like that. And then this happens all the time. And Yirmiyah is sort of lamenting, like, I can't believe this happens. Every man mocked their fellow man. They wouldn't speak the truth. They taught their tongues how to speak out lies. They wearied themselves by just doing sin after sin after sin. So the point is that they can't even help it anymore. They got themselves so used to telling these lies, they can't even stop themselves from doing so. Plus, okay, you live amongst this trickery, and through this mirma, through this deceit, they refuse to know me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes they even add on a little bit of truth to it, says Miam Loez. They're willing in order to make sure that it's not looked at just as lies. Now, Chazal do tell us that there are four types of people that do not see the Shekhinah: mockers, flatterers, liars, and Lashon Hara people, and all of them are hinted to in these psukim over here. Behold, I will purify them and test them. What else can I do for my people? I have to be able to test them, bring them through the ringer, so to speak, make them pure again. Because their tongue is like a sharpened arrow. Mirma diber, it speaks out deceit. Betiv shalom, its mouth may say, hey, peace. Esreu yadaver, with his friend, he speaks out in peace. But inside, he starts going ahead and thinking all of his traps and how to ambush the guy and how to go ahead. Rabbah said, the tongue possesses the ability to both kill and to bribe life, depending on its use. And that's the idea of what these people were doing with it. Am I not going to punish them for these things, says Hashem Nu Mashan? Am I not going to be avenged on such a nation that does so? By the way, the word Ela, right, is because of all the Musar that Moshe Rabbeinu started off with in Tarshish Devarim, with the word Ela HaDevarim. Al Ela and Ibochia is the same type of idea. Pasuk Tes, Al HaHorim Esa Bechi V'Nehi. On the mountains, referring to Har Zion, as well as Har Moriah. I'm going to carry out my cries and my weeping. Al Naos Midbar Kina. Throughout the entire desert, I will make my lamentations. Kinitsu Mibli Ishover. They will be destroyed, right, without anybody going through. Below Shomu Kol Miknet Me Oifa Shamayim. They will not be able to hear all the cattle, because all the birds in the heavens and all the birds in the heavens will be gone. It's all about Adbehema Nadu Alakhu. They all went, and there's nothing left. There's going to be mourning in this mountain. It's as if all the korbanos have left, and that's the idea. All the birds and the animals that used to be used as korbanos will no longer be above. And Atzat Yerushalayim Legalim, I will make Yerushalayim into a rubble heap. Ma'on Tanim, and then for Tanim, either that's jackals or hyenas or stuff like that. I know you're thinking of the Tanin, which is a snake. Tanim is usually for a jackal. Serpent, it does?
Yeah.
Usually it's Tanin, which is snake. But Tanim should usually be a jackal or something like that. Yeah, you want to do it? It's a Rei Yehuda Etzein Shmali Bilio Shave. And the city of Yehuda I will make absolutely desolate without anybody dwelling in them whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. The fact is that the more settled a city is beforehand, the more desolate it is when it's destroyed. As soon as it's destroyed, everything goes down and it becomes even worse. Who is the smart man, the wise man, who's able to understand this? That Kosh Bok is going to speak to him and tell it over. What the land was destroyed for. It's completely desolate, like a desert. Me blew over with anybody there. This is Chazal saying, this is in Yuma Dates, in which the people said, why in the world is the base of Mekdash destroyed? What did we do wrong? What was so wrong that we did something? It's funny, because really this is darshan for the second base of Mekdash, but I guess maybe it's referring to the first base of Mekdash as well. And Hashem said, Al Azbam es Torasi, because they forsook my Torah, and Asati Levan, that I put in front of them, Lo Shomu Bekoli, they didn't listen to my voice, Lo Hokuba, nor did they follow whatsoever, because I'll tell us that means Shalo Borchu Batira Tchila. They didn't make a Birchas HaTorah when they woke up in the morning. That even though they learned Torah, they treated it as just yet another wisdom, another thing they could do. They never concentrated on it as being something special. And because of that, it was wrong, and Bnei Yisrael were punished for that. It's one thing to learn Torah incorrectly. It's yet another thing to not feel like you're gaining anything out of the Torah.
Mishnas David says differently. It says that they basically didn't use the Torah to frame their lives.
Okay, that's interesting.
Like, they didn't listen to the words, they didn't go like the whole Torah wasn't the main point
of their lives themselves. Obviously, because the Torah is a little bit more different, because that's referring to you haven't prepared yourself for Torah. That's more like, no, you learned, but you didn't use it in your daily life. You weren't using it along in your daily life. But it's not the exact same thing. There is a parable, a mashal, that the Miyam always brings here. A king had a court musician who played wonderfully, right, and was capable of entertaining his master at length. One day, the court musician committed a grave sin, but the king pardoned him. Okay, at last, the day came when the king's musician decided to lay down his instrument. Right, then the king took him and punished him for his earlier crime. Now that I have no further benefit from his remaining out of jail, because he was playing in front of me up until now, said the king, I see no reason to defer his punishment any longer. Likewise, when Bnei Yisrael, God's musicians, study Torah, then he overlooked the averos that they had committed during that period. But as soon as they stopped learning Torah, or using it as their framework, or stopped making Birchas HaTorah, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw no reason why they shouldn't suffer for their sins, both past and present. Why shouldn't they suffer for it? And that's the idea of what happened over there.
So it's not really, it's putting off the sentence, it's not really getting rid of the sentence.
No, Torah seemingly is not getting rid of the sins. But if you continue learning Torah for the rest of your life, then that would be able to be a deference until it's no longer there.
That's what David did, right?
Exactly. So he wasn't able to die, so to speak. The Malach Moz wasn't able to take his soul. Rav Chisda and Rabbi Nachmani. So all three of them, they didn't die because they were learning Torah. The Malach Moz wouldn't go until finally Malach Moz was able to, so to speak, trick them into stopping. Pasuk Yud Gimel. By Yovan Kreish Ruzlib, they went after their tithes. Zachariah Ba'olam, as well as the Ba'olam. I should have limdu mavosim that their fathers had taught them. Remember, we went through Baal Peor, Baal Tzapon, Baal Bris, Baal Zvuv, all those different types of Ba'olam. Right? It became became second nature. Literally, it was like the next thing that they were doing. They might as well just, you know, go to the bowels, like a tradition imparted them by their fathers. Therefore, I'm going to feed this people wormwood, and I'm going to give them gall water to be able to drink. The measure to measure, because they listened to poisonous ideologies,
wormwood.
Therefore they themselves were poisoned, right, with the food and the drink that they had. I'm going to scatter them among the nations that they never knew. They and their fathers never knew. I'm going to send after them the sword until it destroys them and consumes them completely. Pay attention, right? Call out to the lamenters, bring them close, and all the wise women, I want you to bring them as well. Really, the chachamos could also be referring to the expert mourners, not just the wise women or whatever it is. So again, because they went with idols that they never knew, therefore they were exiled to lands that they weren't going to. And here, we're talking about professional mourners over here. Yirmiyah turns to them and asks them to participate in Bnei Israel's exile and suffering. In other words, what basically happens is that Yirmiyah was telling them that the land was going to be destroyed and the people weren't listening. So he called in expert mourners and he said, mourn Bnei Yisrael as if the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed, and I'll give you money for it. And the mourners came publicly and did it in front of Bnei Yisrael so that they'd feel it more. That's the idea behind it. Once again, we have a mashal. A king once had two sons. The king was angered at his first son for sinning against him, and he beat him and exiled him from the palace. Later, after calming down, the king mourned the loss, saying, woe to my son who has been exiled. Then he found cause to be angry at his second son, right, whom he treated the same way as his first brother. Said the king, woe to me, right, because now it appears that I am the cause for my son's wayward behavior. If it was one son, right, fool me once, shame on me, right? Fool me twice. No, shame on you. I always get this wrong. Gosh, I hate doing this. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's the idea behind it, right? And he's saying it's 100% my fault. Still shame on me, right? I still believe on that, right? But that's the idea behind it. That's the first. Usmaherna, v'sisena, right? Let them be quick. Let them call out loudly upon us. Nehi v'seiradno einenu dima, so that they should call out this wailing, and our eyes should come forth with all the tears of Abba Yislamayim, and all of our eyelids should stream forth with water. And that's the idea with all this, with water. In other words, we should cry and cry and cry and cry. Ki kol nihi nishma mitzion, because the voice of wailing is heard out from Zion. Ech shudadnu, right? How we have become ruined. Boshnu mo, we become very, very ashamed. Ki adam do arts, we have forsaken the land. Ki yishlichu mishnosenu, because all the areas, all of our dwellings have cast us out, have gotten rid of us, and we're completely gone. Meaning, there is no one ashamed to cry out and bemoan the loss that is happening over here. And we don't blame anybody except other people instead of blaming ourselves. Yirmiyah is pointing them out that they have no one else to blame for this except themselves. Kishmana nashin dvar Hashem. Hear the voice of Hashem, O woman, and let your ears hear the words of his mouth. Teach your children how to wail, and each woman should teach their friend types of lamentations. I realize that you haven't done this yet, said Yirmiyah, because it's been a long time since we had something to wail about and something to cry about. Nonetheless, right, he's telling the woman, teach other people how to do this, because you're going to need it really, really soon. Others say it's a reference to calling over the Imos, that Yirmiyah went to the Imos, Sarif Garachol Man, asked them to cry for all of Klal Yisrael. Ki Olam Aviz L'Chalonenu, because the death has come in our windows. Bob Amenosenu, it has come into our palaces. L'Hachritz Olom Michutz, to cut off all the children from the outside. Bachur Menachovas, all the young men from the streets. It does sound that way, right? This is a famous pasuk in Bava Kama, right? That this is where we learn that when you're in a city, you should close the windows when plague comes in. Obviously, this is before they knew about bacteria and things like that, right? That's where I mentioned Bava Kama, but it does mention that you should close it up.
This is also pasuk in Eicha, is it?
Yeah, right at the bottom. Eicha Rabba.
Oh, Eicha Rabba. It's probably there somewhere. Sounds like it.
Don't you have it? It's underneath the...
Yeah, you probably have it like right around there. Oh, he doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. That's weird. I don't know why he doesn't have it.
Look right down over there.
But it's Eicha Rabba, though. That's the Medrash. That's not necessarily Eicha. But it must be a pasuk that's very, very similar. But that's the idea behind it, right? Obviously, that's going to be something else. Now, also over here, there are two types of people. When we say the children playing outside, the young men from the streets, there are two types of people that people arrest for, right? Some are white-collar felonies, right? Like tax evasion, right? Guilty committing of some type of offense against the capital, etc., right? Right? And then the second guys are the ones that are doing something that's really, really bad, like murdering or adultery or something that's against other people, that is not just against the government, so to speak, but against other people as well. In the first category, listen, you get a preferential treatment, you're given to be put inside a different jail, whatever it was. But the second category, those people are obviously not a reference to some. They're not treated the same way. They're definitely referring to over here. And that's what Gaber Ko Noom Hashem says the following, says Hashem, speak out the following. Your corpses of people, they will sit silent on the ground. They're going to be like sheaves after the reaper came in. No one's going to gather them in. That's how bad it's going to be, because you're doing something which is absolutely terrible. There's nothing you can do for it. A wise man should not praise himself for his wisdom, nor should a gibor praise himself for his gvuraso. There was quite a few people there that said, listen, I'll be able to get out of it, or I'm good enough, I'm not going to die in all these cases. A rich man should not go ahead and say, don't worry, I'm going to be fine because I'm wealthy and everything's going to be there, right? No, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, everyone is going to be destroyed. And even Shlomo Melech, no matter how smart he was and how great he was and how rich he was, even he was able to fall, right, because of his own sins. King Bezosi Salo Misalo, the only thing that a person should be glorified in is this: if he knows me, that I am Hashem, because in these I desire, says Hashem. It might be that all these psukim are taken together. I think all these psukim might be used somewhere. But I don't have the place of where it is. They do sound very, very familiar. But that's that. I don't know if it's in there, Dave.
What? The giving it to the young man so he can look. Okay.
I don't remember seeing anything, and I'm looking over now. I don't remember seeing anything of where it was brought down somewhere else. It does sound very, whatever it is. Yeah, but you're doing
Chabezi talking about?
Chabezi, the whole
thing. Erechin Yud Amabez.
Arachin,
sorry. What's Tough Zion stand for?
Tough Zion? Tikkuni Zohar. You got that, right?
Yeah,
that should be fine. All right, Chabezi, Yamin Bangu Hashem, there are days that are coming, says Hashem. Gad Yalko Mulba Orlo. I am going to punish all the circumcised together with the people that are uncircumcised. Says someone yelling at everybody. It's a mitzvah, dude.
You're going to get punished anyway.
Obviously.
And the punish the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Then why would I get circumcised?
You get circumcised.
Wait. No, but there's a reason why the public writes the two of them together.
Why?
What's the distinction? Because if they're all getting punished together, what's the difference between the guy who...
No, I agreed. What it means, what Akash Baruch was saying, there is going to be a day where everyone is punished together, where Bnei Yisrael along with Nebuchadnezzar's armies are all going to be destroyed all at once. In other words, everybody's going to be punished for what happens. That's going to happen. That's going to be Al Mitzrayim, Al Yehuda, Al Edom, Al Bnei Ammon, Al Moab, Al Kuk, Tzutzei Peah, on Egypt, on Yehuda, on Edom, on the people of Ammon and Moab, and all the people from all the different people that are all over the place. Even those in the desert, he called Goyim Arelim, Kol Yisrael Leleiv, because the nations of the world are Arelim, meaning none of them have a bris mila. They're not able to circumcise themselves. But Bnei Yisrael are orally laid. They're uncircumcised of the heart, meaning they won't even listen to me. They won't even go through their desires. They're uncircumcised in the spiritual sense. And that's what it means over here. What are you going to say?
Why is Mitzrayim? It goes Mitzrayim and then Yehuda and then Edom and Bnei Amon and Bnei and Moab. Like, isn't that weird that the order is like that?
Mitzrayim, Yehuda,
Edom. That is what it sounds like. Edom itself.
But shouldn't Yehuda be in front? Yehuda be and also Yehuda or something like that. It's weird that it's in the middle.
Yeah, that is true. What do you guys think on that? I have nothing on that. Mitzrayim and then Yehuda.
Southwest to northeast. This is
the problem is that Edom is in between Yehuda and Mitzrayim. What do you got over here?
Edom is to the east of Yehuda.
Rashi?
Yeah.
Shkun Eretz Yisrael Hayu. They were neighbors, but that doesn't say why they're first.
It's the way it's listed. It's just the way it's listed.
going to be a God's
And that's the word that we're getting punished.
Yeah, but it is weird that Yehuda is mentioned over here. But Edom is supposed to be in the south of Eretz Yisrael, the Negev.
It says Yisrael was already destroyed. That's why.
Oh, that makes sense. First of all, the fact that it said Yehuda is a little bit strange, right? Because what happened to Bnei Yisrael?
They were already
so awesome. But if anything, then those people should have been there. It should be Al Mitzrayim, Al Yisrael, Al Edom, Al Bnei Amon, etc.
They were talking about nations. He's prophesying on people that are now here. Yisrael was already exiled. Mitzrayim existed, and these other Amon, Moab, and Edom were there.
We don't even know about Mitzrayim. Just notice, we have not mentioned Mitzrayim once in the past 480 years of all the Nebuos. Nothing there. I guess you're right. Mitzrayim exists.
Shlomo married Basbar.
Yeah, but we don't mention them as a powerful nation. The last time we mentioned was Shishak Melech Mitzrayim that came through the beast. Yehoash, when he came with Yehoash. But that was to go to destroy another nation. It's interesting. The power of Mitzrayim was weakened, at least. Okay, I don't know. I really have no idea why it would be mentioned in that way. That's an interesting call why Yehuda would be there. Put it as a question. Good call, David. All right, Perek Yud. Shimosh the Dover. Asher Dibar Hashem Aleichem Bnei Yisrael. Listen to the word which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you, all of Bnei Yisrael. Now I'm going to judge you. In other words, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them together with all the nations. Bnei Yisrael complained. They said, wait a second. Shouldn't the Bris Milah, similar to what you were asking, shouldn't the Bris Milah at least protect us a little bit, right? Shouldn't that Bris Milah give us a little bit of schuyos right now? Listen, Bnei Yisrael. We're going to say like this. Kol Amar Hashem, Al Derech HaGayim Al Talamdu. You can't learn from the ways of the nations. You can't fear the heavenly signs, in other words, the constellations and all the gods, the lowercase g, of all the different planets and stuff. That's what the nations are all afraid of and what they get involved with. You are not made for that. And because you raised your eyes to the planets and all those things all together, everything like that, that's your own fault. Now listen to this. There's a famous Gemara, the Shmuel met Ablat, who was a non-Jewish stargazer, right? So one day they were both sitting together facing the street, a group of woodcutters passed from before them. So Rabbi Ablat said, one of them will not return alive. Said Shmuel, if he's a Jew, then he's going to return alive. At the day's end, the woodcutters once more passed before Shmuel and Ablat, who noticed the dead woodcutter was still alive, right? From the load of wood which he bore on his shoulder, Ablat took it down, put it on the ground, and a dead snake was among the wood. Poisonous snake. So Shmuel called him aside and said, what did you do in order to merit to be saved? He said, today when we all sat together with our lunch break, I noticed that one of my fellow woodcutters had forgotten to bring his food with him. Not wishing to see him go hungry, I went ahead and I told him he could have half of my lunch. When I lifted my sack to take out the food, I discovered the snake, right? And I killed it at once with my axe. And Shmuel and Avi called out, called out loud and said, Siddaka Tatzel Mimavas. This is the famous Gemara in Shabbos, and that's what he mentions over there, that because of that, Bnei Yisrael had this feeling of, we're under the stars, we're under the constellation, we'll hopefully do that. Shmuel was trying to tell the people that no, you are not under the stars, and a Jew can live even if the stars proclaim that he's going to die. Even if that's going to happen, it doesn't make a difference. You are allowed to. Like Avram Avinu, right? He looked up in the stars and saw, I can't have any children. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzei mi tzedninus shoka. Get away from your astrology. I'm telling you, you will be able to have a child. Okay? It's going to happen, you're going to have a child. And that's the idea that our destiny is not in the stars up above like the other nations is written, so to speak. Because all the customs and the laws that the nations have, they're all a sham. Right? A tree out of the forest is cut down. And that's the work of a craftsman together with an axe. What that means is that people are just taking down the wood and making their own idols, and they're creating their own futures. That's what they're doing to themselves. Bnei Yisrael doesn't need that. You don't need to go with the trends that the other nations are doing. You could do the proper path as well. They adorn that wood with gold and silver. They strengthen it together with nails and hammers. The lo yafik, that it's not going to fall off, that all the precious metals stay on. Kisomer miksho, they are as rigid as a palm tree hema. Belidaberu, they will not speak. Naso yinasu ki lo yitadu, they have to be carried because they cannot walk. Al tiru mam, do not be afraid of them. Kein lo yadu lo yoreu gami tibu inosam, they cannot do evil, nor can they do anything good as well. There is nothing that these trees or anything that these idols represent among the heavenly bodies and the tzvos hashamayim, nothing is going to be there because all of fate is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Ve'in kamoch Hashem, there is no one like you Hashem, gadol tav gadol shel kol bigvura. You are great and your name is great, tremendous with might. And that is what Yirmiyah is trying to say. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have the ability to do everything. Who would not fear you, O King of all the nations, because everything is fitting to you. Melchizedek, because among all the nations of the world, all the wise men of the world, and all their kingdoms, there is obviously none that compare to you. There is nothing that you can deal with over here. And again, he's telling B'nai Yisrael, you have no idea what you're missing. You have no idea what you lost out on by not worshiping Hashem. So you're wondering why the Bris Milah isn't protecting you. This is why, because we're involved in everything else. In one sense, in one moment, they all are made stupid and foolish. Musar Abalan, A2. Real, the greatest musar that a person can get is all made of wood, showing them that it's absolutely nothing. Their mistakes lead to crazy things that happen from one to the other. And Musar Abalan, A2, it leads to them also, it should regulate interactions between all the different people from society, spouses, young and old, etc. But this code is wood. It has nothing to it. So people will easily be over because they're not afraid of anything really punishing them. That's why it's bad. Ketzab Baruka Mitarshish, beaten silver is brought over from Tarshish Yuba. Mizav Mi Ufas, gold is brought from Ufas. Anybody have a place what Ufas is called? Anybody have that? It didn't mention here. Tarshish we've mentioned before. The question is whether it's in the south or the north. We mentioned that before, and it's probably somewhere near Turkey. But Ufas, anybody? We know Ophir that we mentioned before, probably South Africa. You don't have anything? Nobody
mentioned that. I think it's a kind of gold.
A type of, you know, Paz is a type of gold, definitely. But Ufas seems to be a place. Okay,
well,
doesn't
the Tuna Sion says mean Zahav Tov.
Ufas, right? What is that?
Gold from Ufas.
It says mean Mem Yud Nun Zahav Tov. Like,
yeah. No, that's what he said. That's a different shot. That's not a place.
Tani Africa, my time is Avami Ophir. Avami Megamini.
Ophir, you bring down.
Ufas is Ophir and Tarshish is Africa.
I've read that Africa. You see, that was my
no, but maybe
it's so funny.
No,
everyone North says Tarshish Africa. Is like Turkey.
North
no,
Tarshish,
Spain. I understand, but Tarshish is south then.
Spain also.
Tarshish is Spain also?
I've read it as...
This is just from far away places.
Okay, so that's the point. I can hear that. Ophir and Paz is what Ufaz is made up of. Maisech Rosh, it's carpenter work, right? The Eitz Torah, as well as the handiwork of a silversmith. Tcheles Argam Levusham, they put blue and purple wool all around it. Maisech Chamin Kulam. And it's made out of skilled men, right? That's to do with the idols. But nonetheless, it's still a dumb idol. Hashem Elokim Emet. Hashem, God, is true. By the way, this is where we learn that we should connect Hashem Elokeichem Emet. That's where we get it from. We're right over here. At the end of our Shema, the way that we learn that we should do Hashem Elokeichem Emet V'yatziv, etc., comes up from this passage. Hashem Elokim Emet. We put Hashem Elokim next to Emet. That's where it comes from. Hu Elokim Chayim, He is the living God of Melech Olam, the King of the world, Mikitzpo, Tirash Aretz, from His anger, the land quakes. No nation can ever withstand His wrath. And that's the idea behind it. Obviously, we're finite humans, says Miyamoyed. We have no ability to get everything to make use of everything we have or to do what we need to do for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, but we have to try. And if not, that's when our Kaddish Baruch Hu gets angry. Kidna Temrun. This is what you say to them. Oh, this is in Aramaic. Ready? Lahom Elohai Lahom to them. Elohai Yadishmaya to the gods, right, that have not made the heavens, the Shmai that are in the heavens, the Arka, right, and of the earth, Lo Avadu, they did not do anything. Ye Vadu, they will all be lost, Me'aro means Koshmaya Eilet, from the ground and from the heavens up above. He's told to speak to Babel, and the people that are going to come from Babel, as well as the Jews that moved to Babel and forgot the Hebrew language, and instead only speak Babylonian. Tell them that those gods are not in charge of anything whatsoever, and those guys will only know Aramaic. And don't say that that's so hard. I mean, we see that many tefillos were made in Aramaic because the people literally had gotten so enthralled with the language that they were so saying it that parts of our tefilla made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were made in Aramaic, like Kaddish Brich Shmei. Now, I don't know when these tefillos were made. Nonetheless, Aramaic became the go-to language. What? Yes. So the question is when it was made and when it was put in and who brought it into tefillah. But I'm saying, like, even the Aramaic parts of Uvalatzim, right? I don't know who made the Haggadah, right? But who made Halach Ma'anya and Chag Gadiah at the very, very end? I don't know. We don't know any of these things. If those were even parts of the Haggadah back in the day when they had it. But Aramaic clearly was a language that everybody took on, even though they were only in Babel for 70 years, technically. Lots of people didn't leave, but even so. Of course, by the way, as a side note, it could be that the Tanoim added that in when they were living in Babel. Not the Tanoim, but the Amorayim.
It's interesting.
You just don't know.
The only language that made it in Hebrew, because you don't see any Arabic or Yiddish.
No, we don't. We don't see any Arabic. No Yiddish. No English.
Well, relatively new.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, Yiddish is also.
Right. Well, Yiddish is much hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. Yeah, it is interesting that it's like that, but we did. We added that on. Listen, one of the first things that, if I remember correctly, if it wasn't the first, one of the first things that the Reform movement took out was Yikum Per Kan. They said, number one, it's in a language we don't speak anymore, which is Aramaic. Number two, is only talking about this, and that they should get all good things, etc.
Is that what it talks about?
The first one is really about children and that everything should be good. The second one is about the Tamidei Chachamim.
It's not in the Torah.
No, it isn't?
No, I never said it.
Oh, interesting. But Yikum Per Kan, how about those?
You would think it would have started in Babel.
Yeah, you'd think that also. That's interesting that it's not there. It is in Sephardi Siddur, in Sfarad Siddur, meaning, Hasidish Siddur. They do that as well. Osti Eretz Bekoko. God makes the land with his might, making table for Hamasu. He prepares the earth with his wisdom, between us and us, Hashemayim. Obviously, he supplied the heavens and heaven as well. And obviously, we're going into that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to do everything and he's involved in everything in the world. Bekol Tito Amon, his voice resounds with Hamonayim, with all the great multitudes of water. Have you ever heard waves, huge waves coming in? When I was in, this past winter, I was in NCSY Shabbos up north in northern Illinois, right off Lake Michigan. It was a freezing cold day, right?
Where,
freezing cold outside.
Like Zion?
Like Zion, yeah, exactly, in Zion.
And where that resort there?
There,
the American Resort or whatever
that is? Yeah, that's
Illinois State Resort?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right off the beach or whatever. It's garbage now, yeah. It looks like it needed to be redid. Either way, we were there, and it was amazing. It was an unbelievably windy day, and the lake was going crazy. I thought the lake was frozen. The lake had waves that were going like 30 feet in the air. Yeah. And you were watching, and it was crazy going out and crashing against the wave. We went outside for a second. Huge, massive snowballs that were inside. It was too cold. These huge, massive snowballs, and they were moving around by the waves. It was the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Guys,
so unbelievable. Okay, I don't want to hear that. Anyway, but that it's crazy, that type of stuff that shows the power. The Yalan CMXARS, he brings down, or he brings up the clouds from the edges of the land. The Ruck of the Matra Asal, he makes the lightning for the rain, because the Ruach Melech source of it takes out all the wind from his storehouse. Obviously, rain is a phenomenon that we do not fully understand just yet, how rainstorms start. We know where they start. We just don't know what the patterns are exactly. We have great, great tools that are able to do it, but we just can't get it exactly. And rain defies the law of gravity. Somehow it's able to make it up in the sky without working with the laws of gravity.
Yeah,
so there's an amazing
now we know
that rain.
It doesn't really depend.
We know how. We just don't know what that means. Yeah. We know that it becomes lighter than air that it's able to raise up to the sky. But it's amazing that something that's solid has the ability to break itself up and become something
that's
able to go through.
Chemistry,
every solid has the ability to become
gas.
There's no question. But that all of a sudden you have something that has any chemical, you're right. Anything that has the ability to do that. We have solid structures that are able to just make themselves
into. Isn't it crazier that water then can turn into a solid if you lower the temperature?
Well, 100%. No, okay. It's all crazy. Same. The whole thing. The whole thing, obviously, right?
Everything's crazy.
It's inexplicable.
Crazy.
I am pretty crazy. I do hear that. Nivar kol adamidas. All men are completely witless. We have no ability to understand this fully. Hobish kol tzoreit. It dries up, so to speak, right? Or it embarrasses all the people who are forming the idols, Mipasel, from the idol that they make. He's Sheker Nisgay, because obviously his molten image and what he's doing is both Sheker v'lo Ruach Bam. There's no life in all of them. And they don't realize until afterward. They make what they need to make, and then they're embarrassed by what they just made. Hevel Heim, Amaseh Tzatzuim. They're all worthless. They're works of absolute illusion. At the time of their judgment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to judge, then everything will perish, and they'll all be gone. Lo Ke'ela Chelek Yaakov. This is not the Chelek of Yaakov. Ki Yotzra Kol Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of all the Yisrael, Shevet Nachlaso, and Yisrael is his Shevet Nachla. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what it should be. And that's the idea behind it. They think that there's various gods in the world, lowercase g, that are in charge of all these things. No, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one. We have to remember that. Yisbein Eretz Mikinoseth, gather up all of your stuff from all the different places. Yosheves Bamatzor, those who live in the besieged cities. Telling Bnei Yisrael, get ready to go. Get ready to go to Bethel. It's time to get your wares together and get yourself to together to be able to go there. Kikom Hashem, meaning he koleas Yoshe Arts, I'm going to sling out the inhabitants of the land of Hamazos this time, and I'm going to bring them suffering so that they can be found later on and they can eventually bring themselves back. So again, up until now, the people were saying, why is it our fault? What did we do wrong? Why are we being punished since we have Bris Milas and we're doing certain mitzvahs? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Avodah Zarah that you've done has destroyed you. It's ruined you. The only thing I can do now is sling you away from this land, allow you to realize what you've done wrong, and then bring you back. Oy li al shibri. Woe to me that I'm so hurt, says Hashem. Nakwa makasi. My wound is very painful. But I said, this is my affliction, says Yirmiyah, right? And I can bear it. I'll bear it for myself. The fact that I'm watching this happen, said Yirmiyah, is the worst thing in the world for me. I'm suffering for it not once, but twice. I'm seeing it in my head and then seeing it with my very own eyes, right? Later on, when it actually happens, it's the worst thing in the world. My entire tent is spoiled, right? The tent refers to all of my ropes, they have all been severed. The ropes that we're referring to over here is, I guess, the Talmid HaChachamim that connect the people to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bonai Yitzuni, my children have left me, obviously referring to Bnei Yisrael going, right? The Einam, they're no longer at all. Ein no te'oda hali mekem yiriosai. There is no one who is able to pitch my tent, and there is no one who makes my curtains. There's no people left who are ready to be able to take care of everything and do everything together. Because all of the shepherds, meaning the leaders of Klal Yisrael, become foolish. They did not search out God or ask the Nevi'im what to do. Therefore, they were not wise. And all of their sheep, therefore, that they were shepherding, they've all been scattered everywhere. And the leaders are no longer leaders because there's nothing left. Listen to the sound of the rumor. The Rash Gadol Meretz Tzafon, that there is a great earthquake coming from the north. To go against the city's Yudah Shmama, to make it into a waste, to make it into a den of jackals. Snakes. I know Hashem, Kilola Adam Darko, because a man's way is not really his own. No man walks as he wishes without you helping him. Yirmiyah is saying, I know that there are certain amounts of Nida Kenegamida here, and there are certain amounts where you are directing Nebuchadnezzar. It's not that Nebuchadnezzar is coming on his own. Why in the world would he want Yehuda? Why in the world is he coming so far to come to Yehuda? Most of our riches are already gone. Most of our riches he already carried away, and yet he's coming back in order to take us into exile. What does he really want with us? I know, says Yirmiyah, that this is all your plans and your ideas that you're going through. Yes, Reini Hashem, correct me, Hashem, Afba Mishpat, but only in Mishpat. I don't want it to be in anger, because I will then be reduced to nothing. If you're going to break me, he says, Yirmiyah says, don't let it be in anger, let it be only according to Mishpat, and don't take all other things into account. Allow me to just get little things, little by little, that I can handle, and not something that's too bad. What do you say? Which one?
Why is he asking for Mishpat? Why not Rachamim?
It seems like it's already there. You're right. I mean, throughout, we've been seeing that Yirmiyah Davins had asked for Rachamim. Maybe he now knows that it's impossible to be fixed.
I guess he's blind that it's possible to go beyond what Mishpat.
Hashem's Mishpat cannot be forestalled. When he saw that, he said, fine, just let it be Mishpat and don't let it be too bad. That's what he's saying. Go ahead, Dave. What were you saying?
I'm not sure that you can get around Mishpat. At the end of the day, the world was created under the Midas of Deen. Like, Chesed exists. I mean, Rachamim exists to delay that Deen, or for to allow you to do kaparos for it, but like, I don't think that you can get out of the hesedim. It has to balance out.
In other words, it still can be used well, because
you can defer it,
defer it in a way where you can get a kapara out of it.
Right.
But otherwise, make it into a kapara, because otherwise, saying, maybe you're right, maybe Rachamim is a possibility, but Rachamim was an unlikely and not the best possibility. I'd rather have Mishpat take my punishment and then go on from it. Yeah, get my tshuva and move on. Maybe we need to start over. Maybe that's what Yirmiyah is trying to say. Yeah.
Mishpat also validates the message.
What do you mean validates the message?
You can't threaten.
I
changed my mind.
Right, because that's exactly what Bnei Yisrael were saying. Bnei Yisrael were saying, we're fine, because Hashem keeps telling us this, and it hasn't happened yet, so what do we have to worry about?
That was one of the explanations of Yonah.
Yeah, why you wouldn't tell Bnei Yisrael, you're saying?
Well, the guy wouldn't rush in today, because I knew that shit would be another Yonah.
That's what you didn't know, you're saying.
Right.
And okay, I thought you were talking about in the beginning where you're saying, I can't go to Ninveh because they're going to listen and Bnei Yisrael won't listen. I thought you meant that.
At the end.
I hear what you're saying. They won't do that. Now, this, you might have heard this line before. I don't know if you've heard this line before. Pour out your wrath upon the other nations that do not know you. Right, and on the families that don't call out in your name. Because they consume Yaakov and they consume them completely. And all of their abodes, they have destroyed completely. So what's the shot? How in the world could you maybe think, what's that fair? How is that fair to pour it out to the other nations? If we deserve the punishments, then give us the punishments. Right? If that's the shot, then we have to get it. Why in the world are you giving it over to the other people?
Beyond what they deserve. Meaning, he's asking at this point, only give us what we deserve. Don't get so angry, then we get more than what is
ours. That's not bad. That's not bad. I always learned it as, and the way the Miyamloi says it is that the people that are from the other nations, right, they have a lot more peace and rachamim than other people usually do. The reason why is because the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows they're not going to learn their lesson. Well, Bnei Yisrael will. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his anger so that we learn from it, because we will. Well, the other nations, he doesn't give them this anger.
Why do we keep it if we're supposed to learn?
Not everybody does. The unfortunate part. But
you're saying that the other nations would be worse?
The other nations, there is no way they'll ever take it. The one example that we have of the other nation doing tshuva was Yonah with Ninve. That we have. But for the most part, they're not able to do this.
ISIS destroyed Ninve.
Yeah, but Shmuel was a Goyim.
What?
The Goyim were part of this problem. So they shouldn't get rid of.
Oh, that's your thing. Get rid of the nations that were around, right? Because they're also involved. Very, very good. Right? They're the ones that are around. By the way, as a side note, do we say this entire pasuk on Pesach? I don't recognize the whole pasuk.
No.
I should have a Shimcha Lo
Karo. I think it starts with Yaakov.
That's the start. It's interesting because usually we don't do that. Usually we do not take half a pasuk.
And in Haggadah, they change Mishpachot.
You know what? I think you're right. Mamlachot, that should be Shemkola Grow. Is the pasuk from somewhere else? How could that be? Why do we switch it around? That's going to be a question. Wait,
but it means
maybe
it's more broad statement.
No, no, there's no Haggadah in there. They do have Shabbos at Gadol.
Two of my gender.
Do you have an Haggadah?
Yeah.
Yeah, go grab it. Let's see if we can get it over here. It is weird that it's over here and it's like that. There's nothing, nothing that mentions it specifically over here. Okay. Let's see if we can get something a little bit different. What do we got? All right. Let's see. It's all the way toward the end, obviously.
Wait. Don't open the door.
No, nobody's opening the door right now. Wait. Where is it? Oh, near Powell. This is the fourth cup. Oh, it's after Hawa. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Internet.
It's right before Hawa. I'm sorry. I was right. Oh, here we go. So Kamaskal Agayna Shali, the Ucha Bal Mamla Fos, Ashab Shimkolo Karo, he offered us Yaakov as Neve Naveu Heshamu. It skips.
We'll leave off a couple of words.
Ooh, that's interesting. Shwakalem Zamapa, wait, what's the one over here? Oh, it's a Pasuk in Tehillim. That's why.
Tehillim, what Tehillim?
Tehillim. Ayin Tess. Ayin Tess, 79, 67. That's the shot. Wow. So it was a puzzle from Dylan, and Yirmiyahu must have modified it.
So what's the
put it out over here.
Mamlachos and Mishrofos. So I guess it's the context. What was that Dylan discussion?
Let's see if he says anything over here. It does not say. I'm surprised that Yirmiyahu doesn't quote that. That's weird that he doesn't say it. Oh, these expressions do not appear in the identical verse in Psalm 79. Apparently, since the evil done to Israel in King David's time did not attain the proportions of Yirmiyahu. Age. That's interesting. That's the reason why it's a little bit different. Okay. That's Mitzvah's David. You didn't notice that. That's that. Okay. In this chapter, okay, we got Parak Yud Aleph. He gives a little bit of an introduction, which is weird for the Amloi to do, but he says the following. He says that they should recall and contemplate the brit that the Bnei Yisrael made with God on Arbos Moab before they went into Eretz Yisrael. There were curses and blessings in there, and now this is 800 years later. 810 years later, right, the time has come to refresh their memory that they had made that brit and consider whether they can afford to ignore the consequences of overlooking it and going through it. This is the word that came out to Yirmiyah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying the following. This is going to be, ready, the fifth prophecy of Yirmiyah, the fifth altogether. It is composed of 19 sections altogether. Okay, this is the word that's mentioned over here. So we say
says this over here. It's possible that this prophecy was made after they discovered the Torah scroll in the Beis Hamikdash. Remember by the times of King Yoshia, and they had found that it was open to the Kalos in Devarim Kapkas. And once they saw that, now he said, okay, this is the time for me to refresh your memory about what happened. Shimu's Dibra Brisazos, listen to the words of this covenant that we made, where we promised curses. Speak it out to the words of, to the people of Judah and to all the people of Yerushalayim itself. And that's it's interesting, isn't it? Shimu is not a word that you normally hear. Listen to these things. Yirmiyahu was told to assemble them together and to publicly read them, that everybody could hear them. Yirmiyahu had to give the impression that everybody, that Hashem wanted to make a new bris with them, as if they should hear it again. Cursed is the person who does not listen to the words of this bris. Remember, in Kisavo, it goes through 12 curses. It goes through the Arurin right beforehand. This is going to be a reinforcement to that idea. On the day that I commanded your fathers when I took them out of the land of Mitzrayim, from the iron furnace, the place where they had worked themselves, Lamor saying, Shimu Bakol, listen to my voice, and do everything I say. According to everything that I command you, be my people, and I will therefore be your God. The reason why it was the iron furnace is because it took care of all the impurities of Klal Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael was not ready or roy to be able to get the Torah. The iron furnace made them work out all of their sins, and they no longer had time for sin, and that made them greater. That made them a very, very great nation. That I can establish my shvua that I swore to your fathers, was Islam, Eretz Yisrael, and Rosh, that I should give them the land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And then I said, Amen Hashem. This is again, I couldn't talk with speaking to Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu answers back and says, for B'nai Yisrael's sake, I say Amen for such a thing. And that's the idea that Yirmiyahu was affirming that anybody who does not uphold this is going to be cursed.
Hold on.
Yeah.
In this Nebuah, is Yirmiyahu actually having a dialogue with God, or is it, are these separate incidences?
Like, no, this is what Akashok was telling him to do, and he gets up and says it later on to the people.
Okay.
That's what ends up happening. Read out all these words in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim, Lamor, saying, listen to the words of these curses, right, and do everything that you can. This is an effort to be able to make sure that everybody, not just the King Yoshia, but even the people that were in the streets would all be able to hear what was going on. I repeatedly warned your fathers. The time when I took them out of Egypt, until today, I got up early, day and night, saying, Shimu Bakoli, I want you to listen to my voice. I told them again and again and again, they did not listen, they did not turn their ears, and they all went according to their tithes, Arat. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this verse, the law of that I commanded to do, right? And they did not do it. They would not do it, and they continued in their guilty ways in everything that they were doing. Okay? By Yom HaShem Eli, Hashem said to me, Nimsa Kesher B'Yish Yehuda. There has been a conspiracy among the men of Yehuda, Ubi Yoshe Yerushalayim, and among the people that were living in Yerushalayim. This conspiracy was obviously going to be a good thing, right? That Yoshia had originally told them that they should keep the Torah, and they should listen to the birth and everything. Said Yirmiyahu, people have backslided. They started going back on what they were doing, and they started keeping up Avodah Zarah again. And Yoshia was not aware of it. People had gone back against what had happened. So again, this is the third part of the Nebuah. Third part of the Nebuah. Number one, he went to Yoshia. Number two, he went in the streets. He told everybody, and everybody started to listen. Now, number three, Hashem told them, it's bad. It's bad. People have started going back. They went back to the sins of their fathers, where they refused to listen to my voice completely. They went after other gods while dumb to serve them. They have gone against the bris that I made. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these men are going to have something evil that's good. They're not going to be able to get away from. They're going to cry out to me, but I'm not going to listen to them. Then the cities of Yudin, the people of Yerushalayim, will cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Ekatrim Lehem, right? They're going to cry out to the gods, I'm sorry, lowercase g gods, that they burn incense to, Moshelo Yeshua Lehem Beisrael, but they are not going to save them in their time of distress, right? That's what's going to happen. Because according to the numbers of your cities, that's how many gods you have, O Yehuda. Yerushalayim, and the amount of streets that you have, Yerushalayim, something Mizbechos, that's how many Mizbeachs you have, Laboshes, for you to be embarrassed of, Mizbechos, Lakapir, Labal, Mizbechos, that you burn incense to the Baal throughout those areas. You are wasting your time in doing all those things. You, Yirmiah, don't daven for these people, Valtisa, Badam, Rino's feelings, do not cry for them at all. I'm not going to listen when they call out to me because they are so evil. Because they're now talking to everybody else. Every time they talk to me, it's as if they're speaking to other gods. They might as well be speaking to the idol. Man, what has my beloved done to Basie in my house? In other words, how could my Bnei Yisrael bring in idols into my house? They have done evil things to Rabin. Right? There are many plots to obliterate the flesh from herself. When you sin, you rejoice, said Yirmiah over to Bnei Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that since the Beis HaMikdash had a lot of evil that was going on in there, how in the world could you stand in the Beis HaMikdash and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right at that time? What do you want me to do when they bring in all these abominations inside the Beis HaMikdash itself? Zayis Ranan Yefei Pri Soya, a fresh green olive tree with beautiful fruits. Karashem Shmeich, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has called you. Lekol HaMula, right, by the sound of a great noise, Gedola, Hitis Ish Alea, he brought a fire upon you, Barol Deliosov, and broken all of its branches. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that Bnei Yisrael has called you the most succulent grapevine, that everything is growing and you're becoming greater and you're becoming tougher and everything works out and you're doing many, many good things. We're like a grapevine because we give forth all of our, an olive tree, I'm sorry, because we give forth our fruits and we can light up the world with our Torah. But when they don't, now it's going to be used as firewood. When the olives go away, olive wood is a very, very good tree that's used for fire. And in that sense, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because you guys are so great, the downfall of all of you is also very, very great. Hashem Tzvokos HaNoteos of God, who planted you, Dibar Alayak Raw, Bidlal Raw, Beis Yisrael. He has spoken evil upon you because of all the evil in the house of Israel. Beis Yudah Asher, and Beis Yudah Asher also Lem Lachiteni, because they have been Machis, me, they have done Lachis, Lekas Labal, by sacrificing to Baal. And that's the idea that you had this chance and you used it for evil. Hashem Odiyeni Vayda'ah, also you're saying about Lamb, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified me and I knew it. You, Hashem showed me all of their doings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what they were doing wrong. But he kekeves aluf, I was like a choice sheep. Yuval Litzvoach, that is being brought to be slaughtered. I had no idea that they were already thinking schemes against me. Right? By saying, let's destroy the tree with all of its bread, all of its fruits. And get rid of him from the land of the living. And we won't mention his name ever again. Saying about Yirmiah, let's get rid of him immediately so that we no longer have to hear all these words. Hashem Tzokos Shofet Tzedek, God is the righteous judge. Boken Klayz V'Leiv, he checks all the inners in the hearts. Erenik Moskal, I will see your vengeance, Mayhem, from them, Kielecha Gilisius Rivi, because to you alone I have revealed my fights and my flights. I knew that I had no one to turn to. The king wouldn't help me. The other police officers wouldn't help me. There was no one that I could go to for these criminals who were trying to kill me. So said Yirmiah, there was no one for me to go to except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, I am sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them for me. He promised me that before. Therefore, God says, on the people of Anassos, remember that's the city of Yirmiah, the people that went against them, those who go against your life, don't prophesy in God's name so that you don't die in our hands. That's what the people of Anassos said, right, when they said all that. Therefore, I am going to take it against them. Their young men will die by the sword. Their sons and daughters are going to die by hunger. There will be no leftovers for them. There will be no remnants. Because I will bring all evil to the people of Anassos at the year of their ultimate punishment. At the end of the day, something is going to happen that's going to make them all punished, and that's what's going to be for all of them. The question is, should we go on in Parakeet Bez?
More the
people of Anath in particular during that.
I would assume because Yirmiyah lived there, so Yirmiyah's words were heard by them more than anybody else. So they were just like, get out of here already. They were hearing it again and again and again. So they were arguing with Yirmiyah. But we don't know anything specific yet about the people of Anath. Later on, we see that they do some terrible things to Yirmiyah, but yet not. What's up?
I would assume the reason why they're the most harsh, like they're being called out, is because they can specifically hear and they're rejecting the message.
They're taking it all away.
Yeah, they're the ones.
What do you think? Yeah, we'll go for it. You are right, because I, if I were to contend with you, you obviously would be proven right. But, said Yirmiyah, let me speak out these points of justice, Osach, with you. Why is it that the Rishayim have Hatzlacha? All the people who are living treacherously, that are doing in sin, that they're acting with peace, more like eels, isn't it? I would say more like eels.
Moshe was kind of like before eels, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hear. Well, he's looking at it and saying, it makes no sense to me that a wicked Babylonian king would be able to take over the Beis HaMikdash and spill so much blood of all the Jews. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to undertake all of this stuff? You want to kill the Jews by plague? I hear that. You want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash by an earthquake? I hear that. But you're doing it through Nebuchadnezzar and allowing Nebuchadnezzar to become so powerful. I don't get it. Now, I know, said Yirmiyah, that if I were to fight against you, I'd be wrong. Nonetheless, you can't help but have these questions. Why is it that the Beis HaMikdash and the people are being killed and destroyed by an evil person and not just through God's hand themselves?
Because they're being destroyed essentially by the same God that they're worshiping.
So to speak, so it's Mida Keneged Mida.
Yes.
It's interesting. Yirmiyah did not seek the answer to the ancient question, why the wicked prosper while the tzaddikim suffer. Right? For that reply, that's simple enough, right? We don't really know who's truly wicked and who's truly tzaddik in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But he did want to know, if you are absolutely evil, and everyone knows this guy's evil, and Nebuchadnezzar was well known for his cruelty and his evil and whatever he did, how in the world could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow that guy to flourish? You want the guy to live? Okay. But that's that. Now, when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu this question, he received two replies. Right? We had tzaddik ben tzaddik and tzaddik ben Russia versus Russia ben tzaddik, the Russia ben Russia. Right? That's one answer he received. And the Gemara says, but the second answer he received was a little bit more understandable. We don't really know what that means exactly. It basically goes with Schosavos. The other was tzaddik gomer, tzaddik eino gomer. Russia gomer, Russia she'eino gomer. And on that side, Yirmiyah looked at him and said, but Nebuchadnezzar's a Russia gomer. According to what you said to Moshe Rabbeinu, a Russia gomer will not prosper. But I see a Russia gomer that's prospering. That's what he's asking. Yeah.
In order for somebody to there needed to be a foreign nation to overcome them, an earthquake, or that wouldn't make them into slaves, or wouldn't send the same.
It wouldn't send the same message. That's what you're saying,
right? You needed somebody who was as wicked to Nebuchadnezzar to do these.
You're right, but you can't. You could have had a regular king come by.
Yeah, but
to destroy that.
I don't know if I agree so much. It seems like some other reports that we've seen about Nebuchadnezzar. He did have some.
Yeah, that was like
some 4 miles.
I think that's a shot. Yirmiyah might not have known. Yirmiyah might not have known that. He might have only seen him as an evil person. Who says that Yirmiyah received a Nebuah about Nebuchadnezzar specifically? Remember, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't necessarily alive yet. Or if he was alive and he lived, you know, whatever, beforehand, maybe he wasn't evil yet. Maybe he was someone. Yeah, he saw what happened. He didn't know what Nebuchadnezzar was. He saw a cruel king. Yeah, the gods. I did like the answer, yeah. That the gods are there. Nekatem gam shorashu. You plant them in the ground, you let them take root. Yelchu gam asukari. They even go and they make fruit. Karavatavathiyam. You are close to their mouths when they daven to you. Rachel mekliyoseyam. You are far away from their hearts. Don't you realize, God, that they're not thinking about you at all, that they're just saying the right, proper things, but they don't really mean it whatsoever? How in the world could you allow this to happen? All right. Yeah, we'll start from Pastor Jim over here.